present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for a second visit to Eastbourne, the popular resort on what's known as the Côte d'Azur of Sussex. Côte, Côte meaning coast and azure meaning blue rinse. It was in 1903 that Eastbourne came to the world's attention as the first town to create a municipal bus company running steam-powered coaches. However, the people of Bexhill rioted in fear of such modern technology when the service was extended there last year. Famous names associated with Eastbourne include Douglas Bader, and the town's museum holds some of his personal possessions. These include his last school report, which reads, "In future, Bader really must learn to pull his socks up." The composer Debussy, inspired by the view from his balcony, wrote his orchestral work La Mer at Eastbourne's Grand Hotel. The following year, he returned, but being allocated a room without a sea view, wrote his less popular piece, La Tesco's Car Park. Okay, audience, let's see who we've got lined up on the teams for you. Well, talk about four top-class original comedians. That'll give you something to take your minds off this for the next hour. As on my left, we have Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And back again and eager as ever to perform on the desk next to me, please welcome our delightful scorer, the ever delectable Samantha. We start today with an educational round. The use of language is an interesting study, but there are those who don't understand the subtle difference in meanings of apparently similar terms, such as representatives and delegates. Well, representatives means those authorized as deputies in a legislative assembly, whereas delegates is a setting on your washing machine. But today we concern ourselves with the constant changes affecting our mother tongue. So, teams, I'd like you to provide examples of words in English that have acquired new definitions. Jeremy, would you care to start, please?
Five-a-side, to kill a boy band.
Barry.
Pre-Raphaelite, one who leaves before the raffle.
Tim?
Guy Fawkes Night, end of October to early December.
Graham?
Microbe, a tiny little dressing gown.
Vegetarian, bad hunter.
Ramshackle, a male chastity belt.
Piston, someone who is taken advantage of.
Blame, walking with a blimp.
Shingles, what Barry never orders late in the evening.
Buttercup, face down.
Conurbation, what convicts do alone in their cells at night.
Christmas, September to the end of January.
Hunky dory, a butch fish.
Orthodontists, those very devout dentists with the beards and the hats.
Derelict, pleasant experience in Ireland.
OK, the teams are going to sing along now with some well-known discs in the game called Pick Up Song. Earlier, Samantha went down to the gramophone library to choose the team's records. While she's there, the kindly old archivist usually asks Samantha to do a few routine maintenance tasks for him, including checking the ancient sound equipment. This week, there was cleaning off some rust, replacing record needles, and attending to a stiff knob on his list of tasks. It was quite a long one, so she asked if he didn't mind her sitting on it for a while. What? Oh, I see. Filthy beasts. Back now in DJ mode, Samantha is poised over the turntable and ready to give the selected discs a spin. You should sing along, teams, and continue when at my signal Samantha turns the volume. I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. Ooh, you are awful. This week's prize is a refreshing fruit drink that'll make the perfect addition to any packed lunch on school visits to Iraq. It's this bottle of Sunni Delight. OK, we'll start with you, Barry. Would you please accompany Frank Sinatra singing The Lady is a Tramp?
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She likes the theatre and never comes late. She never bothers with people she'd hate. That's why the lady
is a tramp.
Oh!
She likes to sleep.
You now, Graham, would you please accompany Karen Carpenter singing There's a Kind of Hush?
There's a kind of hush, shh, all over the world. Tonight, all over the world, you can hear the sound of lovers in love. You know what I mean, just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else and I'm feeling good, just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, get closer now, and
your turn, Tim. Would you please accompany Robbie Williams singing Angels?
I sit and wait. Does an angel contemplate my fate? Do they know the places where we go when we're grey and old? 'Cause I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel the love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it all, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong.
And finally, Jeremy, would you please accompany Dex's Midnight Runners singing Come On, Eileen?
Oh, Johnny Ray,
in mono. Our mothers play. Well, and who would blame them? You're grown, so grown up, so grown up, so grown up. Now I must say more than ever. Come on, hey! Toorah-loo-ah, toorah-loo-ah. And we can sing just like our fathers. Come on, Alino, I'll swear what he means at this moment. You mean everything. You in that dress, all my thoughts I confess.
And you doubted me.
The teams are going to try their hands now at acting in the game called Sound Charades. This is derived from the erstwhile popular TV show called Give Us a Clue, where players mime the titles of well-known books, films, or TV shows. So expert was the Grandmaster Lionel Blair that he even managed to score points on an obscure TV documentary called Tales of Thuggery by indicating third word sounds like and calling for assistance from Christopher Biggins. Okay, Tim and Jeremy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Seabiscuit. Seabiscuit.
Okay, it's one word.
One word. Yes.
It's definitely a film, and it's probably a book. Well, Chris, we've got 32,000. We keep that, don't we? And the question is, rich tea. What do you think?
I'm not sure about A, posh people's drink.
No, that rich tea could be. B, golfer's gold tea peg, possibly. No, I don't think so.
No.
What about D?
D, Tara Palmer Tomkinson.
Yeah, rich tea.
Rich
yeah,
tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're £1 million riding on this.
Yeah,
so it's
a million
probably a good
pounds.
Idea to take a random guess.
Well, what are you going to go for then?
Well, I think C.
C? Okay. Let's see. The end.
Ah. One word, eh?
Yeah.
It's harder than you think.
Where have I heard that before?
No, I think you've always heard the opposite, Barry.
I was there, though. Seabiscuit.
Oh!
Your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Alice doesn't live here anymore. Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Right,
it's a film.
Film. And don't think it's anything else, is it?
It's five.
Six.
Five or six. Here it goes.
Okay, here it comes. Ah, I'm looking for Mr. Cooper. Oh,
What's he look like?
Oh, very distinctive. He's tall, thin, very pale, long black hair, more than a hint of mascara.
Oh, him!
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's moved.
Oh.
Could it be Henry Cooper doesn't live here anymore?
No, he couldn't.
Oh, you're so close.
Or maybe Alice.
Cooper Alice doesn't.
We move on now to a game called Daily Mail Headlines. This is played in tribute to the columnists of that great national newspaper. When it was founded in 1896 by Lord Northcliffe, the Mail's first readers didn't know what to think. These days, thanks to Linda Lee Potter's column, they've no need to even bother. In this round, teams, I'd like one of you to suggest a word, and each succeeding panellist to add one more word, either before or after, in sequence, until I judge that you've built up a typical Daily Mail headline. You can start, Tim, and your word is royal.
Royal butler.
Clumsy royal butler.
Clumsy Royal Butler spills...
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans.
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans and...
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans and takes...
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans and takes it.
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans and takes it up.
Clumsy Royal Butler spills beans and takes it upstairs.
Okay, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I noticed from the listener correspondence in tray that we've received a letter from the listener, who this week is a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, Dear Dale, you must be pretty handy at flower arranging. Can you tell me if it's best to put the self-raising in front of or behind the plain stuff? Many thanks, Mrs. Trellis. Okay, on with the game teams, and this time we'll play blind Mornington Crescent, an ancient variation requiring immense skill. It follows standard ancient and modern rules, right enough, the key difference being that each player is blindfolded and thus quite unable to see the board. Samantha, apply their blindfolds now, please. This should be quite a spectacle. Tim, will you start?
Good Street.
We can't hear you. We've got blindfolds on.
Cleveland Street.
Who said that?
Could I have a last cigarette?
Wembley.
Oh, that's...
Central.
Oh. Is he allowed to do that, Humph?
What?
Is Humph still here?
Green Park, then.
Birdcage Walk.
Bounds Green.
Oh.
Don't go Wembley.
That was just a blind guess, wasn't it?
Wembley Park.
Yeah.
No, Willesden. Willesden.
No, that's okay.
Willesden. Willesden. Junction.
He's done it again, Humph. Austerley.
Mornington Crescent. Yes.
The next round is all about jokes. I'll be looking to Barry Cryer to lead on this one, as he's been a comedian longer than the others. In fact, Barry started out entertaining the troops, but in honesty never enjoyed great success. Perhaps it might have gone better if he'd bothered to learn German. The round is called Complete Jokes. Teams, I'll present you with the first part of a favourite old joke, and I'd like you to try to remember the punchline, OK? The first one's for you, Barry. What's the punchline to this well-known joke, please? What is out of tune, rotten, and goes to sea?
Jane McDonald.
Oh, I wish that was the answer, but it's not. Sinbad the Sailor. Graham, do you know how this well-known joke is completed? What do you get if you cross an actress and a glove puppet?
You get Sex and the Sooty.
Very close. The answer is Sooty and Streep. You now, Tim. What question can you never answer yes to?
Are you still enjoying quote-unquote?
Perfect paraphrase, in fact, because the real answer is, are you asleep? Jeremy, here's a joke for you to complete. What goes 99 bonk, 99 bonk, 99 bonk?
Oh, it's got to be a Welshman counting sheep. I'm guessing.
It's a centipede with a wooden leg. Wait a minute, I'm just going to have an enthusiasm injection. Here are some for anyone to have a go at. What goes up and down but never moves?
A yo-yo on a virgin train.
Or a staircase. What's green and slowly turns red?
Jonathan Porritt. In a blender.
The answer is a cucumber holding its breath. How does this joke go? What do you get if you cross an overweight golfer and a pair of very tight trousers?
An asshole in one. And I'd like to apologise to all my fellow golfers.
But it's actually the right answer.
Is it?
And in those days, you weren't allowed to say ass, so it's just a hole in one. It's music time now with a round called Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams perform.
That was real enthusiasm.
Quite flattered,
Humps. Yeah. Nothing to do with you, is it? Are you on this one? How's your foot?
Not bad.
Right, good. I had a bad foot once, and my hair was a bit long, and it was in the wind, and it was blowing around, and a man in Barnet High Street stopped in front of me and said, "I know you, don't I?" So I look coy like you do. Well, Michael Foot. It's music time now with a round called Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams perform duets combining the soothing lilt of the Swanee whistle with the cheeky chirrup of the kazoo. What once appeared to be a hopeless mismatch is now a combination as natural as love and marriage or horse and carriage, Brown and Blair or hate and guts. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell of the piano. Listeners may be interested to learn that the piano is far from being Colin's only instrument. As a banjo player, Colin is noted for his unusual picking style. And no matter how many times he's told to use a hanky. We'll start with you, Tim and Jeremy. I'd like you to provide a rendition of Big Spender to feature Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee Whistle and Jeremy Hardy on the kazoo. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to provide a rendition of Unforgettable to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee Whistle. It's almost the end of the show, but there's just time to squeeze in a round of Menswear Department Film Club. Samantha has to nip off now. She's doing a fashion makeover on a gentleman friend. Yesterday she says she helped him choose new shoes and was delighted to bend over to tie his laces as he tried a pair with a crepe sole and felt upper. So while she's away, teams, I'd like you please to suggest film titles guaranteed to entertain an audience of menswear department staff. Tim, will you start, please?
Lord of the Flies.
Reservoir Togs.
Once Upon a Time in the Vest.
I Know What You Did Last Cummerbund.
It's there if you look for him.
The Fall of the Trousers of Usher.
All Quiet on the Vest and Pants.
Everything you wanted to know about slacks, but were too afraid to ask.
Breakfast at Millet's.
Get Shirty.
Bring me the inside leg measurement of Alfredo Garcia.
Strictly Ballroom.
Perhaps you could explain that one to me. On second thought.
The Day of the Trim Fits. The Cook, the Thief, His Wife Runts and Her Lover.
School for Sandal.
That's it.
We're closed.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the moose of time is blasted by the marksman of eternity, and the manager of the dairy department goes to get a mop, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the fine folk of Eastbourne, it's goodbye.
Pryor, Graham Garden, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.